My name's Nick Roberts, and welcome to Viral Tap. About 4 months ago now, we made a podcast. Some say the worst podcast created by man.
Definitely the worst.
Would you say so, Neil Hussey? John Wheatley, what say you of this podcast?
I've heard some really shit podcasts. I don't think that we've done the worst of everyone.
What's the worst podcast you've heard? The worst podcast you've heard.
I can't really judge them because I've only heard them once, but there's one called Seen Unseen, which is a movie podcast, and it just pissed me off. And
so what, they talk about films that they've seen and then they talk about films they haven't seen?
Well, one has seen the film and one hasn't seen the film.
It's a bit like us.
Am I calling it?
Listen and not listen.
Do you reckon there's people out there?
It was very much like this, actually.
There's people out there doing podcasts going, yeah, the worst podcast I've ever heard is Viral Tap.
Because I was just going to say, though, that one of them's trying to talk about the film and the other one keeps butting in with crap jokes about what he's saying. It's pretty much what you do. It's all over.
No.
And another podcast I heard, which I thought was crap, was Classic Albums.
What's the matter with that one?
Just boring. Just really boring. I think, you know, I was listening to, when we were doing ours, I was thinking, I was worried that we were boring, but I listened to them and I thought, nah, they're old and boring. So, I hope they don't listen to this. I feel bad if they do.
I really look forward to John's one. I really look forward to
I think we're boring.
I'll tell you how boring I find them. When we're doing a podcast, I think I'll look up if there's any other podcasts on that album and just see what they say. You just dribble their down the side of your mouth.
Not really, yeah. Fosters.
And, unless you don't can, these are exactly can. Don't be you, Ponce.
I'll jump on my Guinness.
Oh, well, it's your lookout, sunshine.
But now it's got to the point where we'll be doing like Pet Sounds and I think, I see what everyone's written.
Have a sip.
Thanks.
And then Classic Albums have got one about Pet Sounds and I think, can't bother.
Oh, sorry. I'm joking. Thanks.
Let's go.
Right, so anyway, we are doing Pet Sounds, the Beach Boys Pet Sounds.
Pet Sounds.
We lost it. Some say we lost it. Some say Pat listened to it and thrown it away.
Oh, I reckon he just lost it. He's incompetence.
He can control his bladder.
He got 10 of those.
Have you introduced me, John Wheatley, and this idiot here, Neil Hussey, yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did he?
Well, he did, because he asked their opinions on that.
Oh, right. That's what he keeps doing now, segueing it into the
yes, well, he's got me butt in. Then he goes, yeah, that's your opinion. Sounds yeah. Like.
There you go. Let's do an Idiot's Guide to the Beach, boys. Neil Hussey.
Well, it's not easy as 1, 2, 3 when you're doing guides to songs and stuff.
Tell us about the Beach Boys.
Well, there's a few of them. It's a few brothers. Brian, Dennis, Geppetto, Malcolm.
Geppetto and Malcolm are actually Carl.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love Geppetto.
They're all right, the Beach Boys. I'm not
Geppetto
a massive,
Wilson.
I'm not a massive fan of Beach Boys. But
why not?
Oh, I don't know. You know when like someone gets you and... You know, you think, oh, I fucking love them.
Is it because they're a little bit algae?
What's that?
Oh, here we go. No one knows your word.
What's it's algae? A definitely a word. Algae. It's like sort of like goofy. Sort of like...
I thought algae was the scum you get on a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's what a word I use to describe someone who's an alge.
What's that now?
Exactly.
Someone who's like, hey guys, totally cool.
It's Cliff Richard algae.
I'm going to start using algae whenever I need to use it and then you'll slowly learn what I mean
by
it. I
thought it was just slang for algebra.
To make maths cool. Al Jardine, do you know which one of the Beach Boys he is?
Yep.
He's the biggest alge in the Beach Boys.
Yeah. He's the one that looks a bit like
the creepy
Ron Howe's brother.
Do you look like the creepy fella? You know in the Burbs, the old creepy fella?
Yeah.
With the white hair? That's Al Jardine, isn't it?
Has Christian Anderson?
Is that what he says?
That's one of them.
It's Mike Love. That's the one that's the young, their son, isn't it?
What, they're called Hans Christian Andersen in the
No, one of them who's like a big fucking like
he's got like a ginger beard.
Yeah, but he's a bit like
don't speak at all.
What's that thing in the
Clopex family? The family's called in that.
What's in that big, what's the thing in the Addams family?
Lurch.
He's a bit like that, isn't he?
Well, why did you say Hans Christian Andersen?
That's what Tom Hanks calls him.
No, it's not Tom Hanks, it's the army bloke.
Oh, is it?
Do you know who Hans Christian Andersen is?
Yeah, he wrote kids' books.
Some classics.
He's
Dane.
He wrote The Little Mermaid.
He's from Denmark, yeah.
The Little Mermaid.
Your eyes.
Good, didn't it?
Visual gag.
Did it joke? Yeah. Did it wobble?
Yeah, you did. It's like REM.
It's very scary.
Rapid eye movement.
Yeah. Let's get back to the Beach Boys. What songs will people know of the Beach Boys?
Oh, he wants to keep getting back to the Beach
God
Boys.
God only knows. A lot of surfing songs.
Surf, namely.
Surfing USA.
Yeah.
Surfing Safari.
Californian Girls.
Yeah.
Surfer Girl.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all right, the Beach Boys. I think you can either love them or hate them.
I like In My Room.
Great song.
Good Vibrations.
Fantastic song.
Good Vibrations is probably the most famous one, isn't it?
And Barbie Bell.
Poker Face.
They wrote Baby Bell, didn't they?
Yeah.
So.
Keep doing the eyes.
A bit cheesy though, wasn't it?
Stop doing the eyes. Oh, that's terrible.
Do it again.
No, I don't think it was. I'm not sure if it was written by them or not. I think it was a standard.
What, Barbara Ann?
Yeah.
Do they say Barbara Ann? Barbara Ann. Do they say Barbara Ann? Barbara Ann. Yeah, Barbara Ann. They don't say Barbara Ann. They say Barbara Ann.
That could be quite hard to pronounce it. Barbara Ann.
Don't fucking sing it then.
Yeah, to be fair.
Fine.
All right.
Beach starts already.
You like the Beach Boys, didn't you? You love them.
Can I just say, whilst we're talking about the song Surf, the drum on that is played by one of them using their index finger on a snare drum.
That's well lazy.
That's it. Yeah, that's the truth.
He's a bit of a mad genius, Brian, isn't he?
Yeah. Brian Wilson is the he's the nucleus of the group.
And Dennis was the coolest.
Dennis was the coolest, yeah.
The only one that surfed, actually, out of the Beach Boys.
That was one of my questions.
Dennis, and he was also the hardest one because he hung around with mass murderers.
That was
his gang.
The Mansons.
Yeah.
Did he?
Charles Manson.
Marilyn.
Yeah. Who used to hang around with Charles Manson?
Dennis Wilson.
Did he
write songs of him, yes. Well done, Pat.
Did he have his swastika then?
No, he just sort of, before he went completely, started killing people, he used to
knock about with Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Charles Manson knocks around for a load of celebrities.
Is that what made Manson mad? Because he hung about with the Beach Boys?
I don't know. They met up in a bar. They went and played squash.
Do you reckon he got drunk one night and had a really in-depth conversation with Brian? And they sent him a bit doolally.
Oh, leave Brian alone. Brian had a hard life.
He probably did.
Oh, fuck, he had a hard life.
Oh, he's a multi-millionaire at 15.
He had a lot of Michael Jackson issues going on.
No one tried to black him up.
His old man used to clobber him.
Oh, everyone gets fucking beaten in
this
the world.
This was the 60s. Grow up, Nick. That's what happened in the 60s.
This is what happened in the 60s. If you stole your mum's Chevy and you weren't home by 11 from the milkshake shop, you'd get a slap from Dad with your belt.
And you drove it to the levee. Yeah. He was asking for it.
Do you want to know a cheeky fact about the Beach Boys?
As long as it's really cheeky.
No, they were called before they were called the Beach Boys.
Oh, for fuck's
sake.
Yeah,
I think I have a good idea.
The Pendletons.
No, they're called
That's fucking question two that I've got.
I thought that's called the Gay Boys.
I'm going to have to go bareback again.
Do you know why they were called the Pendletons? What a Pendleton is?
No idea.
She's a cyclist, isn't she?
No, it's the plaid shirt. You know what they're...
She is.
Czech shirts.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
They should have been called the
Gimmels. Everyone used to wear them at the time. And they decided to call themselves that after
you're
the fashion.
A cunt,
they're not known.
You fucked up all my quiz.
They're not known the for quiz. Their coming up with good band names, are they?
Nah.
The Pendletons and the Beach Boys. Beach Boys is a really shit name for
that's
a credible band.
That's what they were called when they recorded their first demo.
We're the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
It's not, they could almost be like the Wriggles.
The Wriggles?
Or the Wiggles? The Wiggles or the Wriggles?
The Wiggles.
What is it? Say again.
Wiggle.
Say again. Wiggle.
No, I can't.
Mashed potato. You know the song. Potato.
Potato.
No.
Potato.
Squash spaghetti.
You dickhead. Go on. Try and fucking decipher my third fucking question, you cunt.
I'll probably get there during it.
What was it? I'm going to have to go proper bear.
What about the album?
So,
like the old days.
Yeah, should we start talking about the album?
Yeah.
Pet Sounds, the 11th Beach Boys album.
11?
Yep. A lot of them were pwned before. And there's a lot of... as there was with a lot of bands at that time, you'd have a couple of singles and then a shitload of filler. I think they're producing albums probably about... Two or three a year at least.
Doing a lot of covers, don't they, I think, as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
It was released on May the 16th, 1966.
That was ages ago. What were we talking
about?
A lot
of S's.
Do you know what album was also released on May the 16th, 1966?
Yes.
Go on.
Santana.
Blonde on Blonde.
How was it?
Exactly the same day.
Really?
Yeah. It was recorded at Westwood Studios.
Bob Dylan and the Beach Boys, brilliant.
Gold Star Studios and Sunset Sound Studios.
Is there some story about, because he was already losing his marbles, did he bring like a sand pit or something into the studio?
That was during the that was during the Smile sessions.
He just bought a bag.
Bag of sand.
For his marbles.
Oh yeah.
Don't fart in my face.
It's terrible.
That's so disrespectful.
So there we go. Neil Hussey.
Oh, that's fucking sounds like a Big Mac.
What do you think? My shit don't stink?
Yeah.
Why do you like the album?
I don't.
At all.
I don't like the Beach Boys.
Don't like them, do you like any Beach Boys songs?
I like God Only Knows, but I think people that like the Beach Boys don't like that song.
I love the Beach Boys and I love God Only Knows.
Do you?
Yeah.
I like that song. I think it's a nice song. But other than that, who gives a fuck?
Music did you grow up listening to? When you was... before you knew what music was, what music was playing?
Well, my mum used to listen to Tina Turner. You used to listen to George Benson. Luther Vandross.
George Benson. Yeah, Jodie always gives about George Benson.
It's all about... Alexander
O'Neill.
Proper soul boy.
Yeah, 80s soul.
80s, like gay soul.
Yeah, yeah.
John Wheatley.
It's not what great soul, but...
do you like about Pet Sounds?
Ah, it's all right, isn't it? I like it. I did really like it at one point, but now I listen to it, I don't know, it just sort of... there's this thing about like that sort of music, which... they're not as bad as this, but when I listen to ABBA, and I think it's like...
I all like that, and the
it's
Bee Gees.
It's like soulless. No, I like the Bee Gees.
Do you?
Yeah. But I listen to ABBA and it's all like really sort of musical.
You know that Al Green song, What Can Mend...
How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?
Yeah, that was a Bee Gees song, wasn't it?
Yep. Obviously.
It's something I don't know.
Bee Gees wrote some of the best songs ever.
Yeah, I know. Amazing songwriters, but I just don't like them performing. Yeah.
But ABBA, I just can't stand. It's like devil's music.
It's awful, isn't it?
And
only Alan Partridge
sort of got
likes ABBA.
Elements of that in the sort of melodies and the arrangements, I find, that I don't really get on with.
What songs... so I don't see that whatsoever.
Yeah, very, but you see them with a sheen of rainbows.
I just, give me an example.
Well, like I do like the song You Still Believe in Me, but it's very like bong 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 bong.
We'll come on to the reason for that when we discuss the songs.
Okay.
For other songs?
It's just not a bit of me. That style of music is not a bit of me. It feel even though there probably is a lot of soul in it. Doesn't feel like there's any soul or emotion in it. It feels like they're just going through emotions,
like
a barbershop quartet.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think that some of their stuff is more emotional and or more.
God Only Knows, I really like because it. I feel something.
I think You Still Believe in Me. The lyrics to that song, the way that is, I think that's.
No, I like the record. I do like the record, but that's like just that sort of point about it. It's a bit. It's a sort of thing like if I had my iTunes on and people was around, and then pretty much most of the songs on this album come on, I'd be like skip quickly. Yeah. Because I'd sound like I look like an elge.
They're not fun, are they?
They're not.
Sort of songs like, you want to put on and listen to.
You're right to listen to on your own, but if the people are there, you look like a right minge.
Good Vibrations is not a fun song.
It's a good song, yeah.
But it's still, been overplayed.
It's still not,
so
it's still not perfect because it starts with, oh. If you don't start a song like that, it's a great song. Why ruin it with a, oh, at the beginning?
Do you reckon White Love went.
Don't don't sigh into the beginning of the song.
Yeah. They're not a bit of me. They're a bit too.
But
wet.
I do like a lot of this album. I can't fucking stand Sloop John B.
Do you want to know a little story about Sloop John B?
Go on, tell me a little story.
Because it's the only song that wasn't written by Brian Wilson on the album. It was actually a classic, a old folk song from the Bahamas, from the Caribbean.
Really?
Yeah, about a boat and much like Neil Hussey, an old sponger.
Oi.
The John B.
That's outrageous.
He's not
old sponger boat whose crew were notorious for getting pissed and who sank outside Governor's House in Nassau, I believe, in 1900.
Jamaican pirates.
I've
been to Nassau too.
Did you stand on the beach
when
they recorded the video to For I Have Got
No, I was only there.
Did you watch any space shuttles being launched?
Went to Pirates Museum though.
Pirates Museum, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I seen.
It's a rough old place, really. Apart from the beach edge, that's all right. But the rest is really rough.
Oh yeah, it's.
But they had like a Hard Rock Cafe there, like a cheapo one. Did you go to the Hard Rock Cafe there?
Briefly, I think.
That's where they recorded the Beatles song.
Really?
You know, in Help, when they go on the beach and they're singing "For I have got another girl." It's on that beach.
Oh yeah,
I've been to Tenerife.
Very good.
Thanks.
That was not worth it.
So yeah, so that song. And do you know where the first recording of Sloop John B was done by?
No.
Alan Lomax.
Really?
Yeah.
The folk musician.
Well, the folk biography. Well, not necessarily a biographer, but I don't think he was actually.
Know his name, but I can't really think of what
he. He basically, throughout the early 20th century, went around the whole of the United States of America. And
chronicled folk.
Its islands, yeah, and documented it.
Mm.
So he, well, the songs, the folk songs that were coming out at that time. Oh, okay. So black folk music, white folk music from the Appalachians, the kind of Caribbean folk music. He was in Chicago and charted a lot of the early kind of urban blues. So he was doing the very country sort of blues and the very urban stuff.
He just went around and recorded.
United States Congress Library, I believe. So he got a grant from a university.
How weird's that?
And said, this music needs recording. Someone needs to do it. And because this is part of American culture and American tradition.
Yeah, I bet there was people in the government going, yeah, you want to keep a check on what people are up to.
What
are singing about? If they're singing about the government and stuff.
It wasn't governmentally motivated.
I bet it was.
But all of this is very good, but it still don't make the song any better.
No, but it's just saying it's a song with a lot of heritage. It's got as much heritage as what's it called? Louis. Yeah.
But didn't Beach Boys do a Bob Dylan cover on one of their albums?
Yeah, they did. They did. Yeah, yeah.
And it was appallingly bad, apparently.
Yeah, but
I was just thinking, Beach Boys ain't the outfit to cover a folk song.
No.
You think?
The Beach Boys are still boring, aren't they?
Yeah.
This podcast is still boring.
They're not. No, don't shoot him while he's getting all right.
That is awful.
See, I want to talk about why I like. Why
you better talk eloquently.
Go on and do it now.
Sing like a bird.
What music did you like, John, before we go into it? When you was growing up, what music was you listening to? What music was playing around you?
Opera and.
My mum used to love Pavarotti.
No, not really.
Mine was 1990 when the World Cup, Italia 90. And Vincenzo.
Then she got a.
Yeah, everyone got a Pavarotti album.
I remember being 10 and listening to fucking Pavarotti, Ness and Dorma and shit.
My dad got it, he couldn't even say Pavarotti. But the music I was into when I was younger was.
Well, not you was into, but the music was.
No, that my mum and dad played was 1000 Volts of Holt, John Holt.
Who's that?
That's John Holt's reggae.
Yeah, check it out.
Wicked. Well, John good. Holt's the Bullocks.
Yeah. Well, good.
He's got a really good voice.
It took time for me to know. He's got a song called Stoned Out My Mind. You got me going stoned out my mind. It's all good. Lots of Motown. Loads and loads of Motown. Marvin Gaye, Diana Ross. And lots of Whitney Houston, I think.
Yeah.
And my dad played a bit of Bob Dylan as well.
See, the reason why I asked both of you that question is, for me, I grew up with the Beach Boys.
Really? What, in California?
Yeah. It's fucking brilliant.
What? You're 85.
You look it. I remember my dad had a compilation album called Endless Summer. And I remember, you know, when you're a kid, you look through your parents' albums as much as the cover.
Has that got an orange cover?
But it's just basically a beach. It's like a little bit of beach at sunset and you've got the sea.
I think I've got. Is that the Beach Boys collection? Yeah,
my dad's record collection.
Yeah.
Three CDs or three vinyls?
No, that's it. It was an album. I can't remember. No, I think it was only one. But it had a lot of songs on there.
Right.
And it was a complete kind of retrospective. But I remember, you know, like sometimes you'd sit there when you was a kid and you was fascinated by some album covers.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
another one that I was fascinated by? I think it was Hot Rats by Frank Zappa because it was really weird. It was like a cartoon.
That must be a thing from when you were a kid.
That one, it was.
Deep Purple records and shit.
Do you have the same thing though? Did you used to do that? You'd look at albums and you go.
Yeah, but my dad, because like,
it was like looking at a picture.
We didn't have a record player in the house, I don't think.
It was looking at a picture.
No, but I mean, like as if like a cartoon or like a piece of art or something.
We had like CDs that my mum would play, she was listening to, but I once looked at my dad's record collection and it was like Deep Purple records and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at the record sleeves, I couldn't hear them because we didn't have a record player. I wonder if he's still got it. I'm going to ask you.
You've reminded me though that actually I was also heard a lot of, because we had records, we had a lot of Elvis singles, like 45s.
Oh wow.
And
you still got them?
No.
Shit. And, how much would they be worth now?
I think I got them with car boot sales at the time, so there wasn't like
okay.
in the family. And I think we had the Grease soundtrack. I remember looking at that a lot on the thing.
Something special about a Jive Bunny motherfucker.
Yeah, because that had the thing on the that's the thing on the disc.
Awful.
I was amazed by it because there was actual kind of graphics on the actual album.
Yeah, I've got Every Breath You Take by The Police with graphics on it. I didn't buy it. I didn't buy that.
Graphic? What do you mean graphic?
Picture of Sting and the other two.
On the actual record.
Right, okay. Like on the middle bit, like a CD.
No, on the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got the same
like grooves in the picture.
On the Candy Flip cover of Strawberry Fields Forever, you've got that as well.
Colourful. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So,
records are cool, and they're the coolest fucking.
So, Endless Summer, there was this picture, probably somewhere like Big Sur or somewhere in California.
Big Sur? What, the Frills?
Don't go back to Big Sur.
It was a beautiful beach, the Pacific Ocean, with the sun setting on it. I think one guy either just going out to surf or just coming back from, and you know, you look at something, you just think, I wish I was there. That had me transfixed anyway. And then the music, Don't Worry Baby, I thought was a fantastic song.
Don't worry, baby.
Was this escapism as a child?
I just loved the songs. I just thought they were absolutely brilliant.
Well, you,
help me, Rhonda.
Blatantly escapism, you just said, like, you wanted to be there and you
just. But in that thing, music. Yeah, and the song was. And it was that kind of. I mean, you'd see these kind of elements of that kind of that, driver
a skater kid,
that kind of diner sort of, yeah, and obviously with all that sort of stuff Back to the Future and all that.
Do you agree that gives you a sort of bias towards the Beach Boys because of that?
Yeah, but that's the same thing that gives you the same bias towards Motown or has a bias towards Soul
or Whitney Houston. Do you remember I was saying you were sort of Whitney Houston best of and it was like all killer apart from a song I didn't know called X Hour?
It was a little bit of
it was all killer. I promise that's seems on it.
So anyway, that had me transfixed anyway, and I listened to a lot of Beach Boys, a lot of Brian Wilson. He had an album in the mid 80s called Love and Mercy, which is a really good album. That's wicked.
I think my mum listening to them artists as a kid, or when I was a kid, I mean.
But I didn't listen to Pet Sounds.
It got me into sort of like black music, like soul, and then my dad loves the blues.
Yeah.
So like American black music.
So that's funny what is. It's
like ingrained in you. You know, you could have fucking listened to anything as a kid. You could have listened to fucking The Spice Girls and grown up and been a prick.
Tell me this is not all killer. I Will Always Love You.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Is this Houston?
Yeah. Saving All My Love For You.
Yep.
Greatest Love Of All.
Yep.
One Moment In Time.
Yep. They're all singles.
I Want To Dance With Somebody.
Yep.
How Will I Know.
Yep.
So Emotional.
Yep.
When You Believe, that's not very good. Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. Where do broken hearts go?
That When You Believe, that reminds me of people that always go out early on the X Factor. That's the song that they seem to do. If you're going to do that song, you're not going to get through.
It was the winner's song once.
Anna's I'm Your Baby Tonight.
I'm your baby tonight. Didn't We Almost Have It All?
How's that one going?
Didn't We Almost Have It All?
Oh, yeah. They're all singles.
They were brilliant.
It's like the Thriller album.
If I Told You That... Exhale is one I don't know. I Have Nothing, I'm Every Woman, It's Not Right But It's Okay.
She was all My right love with is your love. She was a crackhead.
How good is that album? $5.99. We're going to buy it now.
I'm disgusted that we've gone from talking about Pet Sounds to talking about Whitney Houston.
It's a better record.
She's all right with Whitney Houston. No, she's great.
Absolutely.
She was the Beyonce of her day.
Let's hope Beyonce doesn't get into the crack.
Well, she's going to Jay-Z's crack. Lucky cunt. He's a right fat prick. He's not very good looking.
He's not very fat anymore.
Isn't he?
No,
he's not very good looking. She's one of the most beautiful women in the world. What the fuck is she with him? Must be the power. Must be because he's not just an artiste.
Who should she be with?
He's a fucking guru.
Who should she be with?
I don't know. I'd like to say me, but she'd be bored within a couple of minutes.
Jay-Z or Neil?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be cool. He wasn't christened Jay-Z. His name's probably Peter Piper.
Whatever. Why is his name
But
Peter
I'm
going to
call myself Jay-Z.
Is it not called James Russell, is it?
I don't know.
I'll be called... They'd call me like...
Pat, do you know what MC Jay-Z's Hussie, name is?
Wouldn't they?
They wouldn't.
Jay-Z or Hussey?
MC Slappy.
Look it up on the phone.
Ball to the motherfucking max, motherfucker. Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't know this album before when I was younger, but when I started listening to albums proper, this was an album that I really wanted to listen to, and I think it's just absolutely fantastic.
Really?
Yes.
Really,
Even I love Snoop every John song in it. Yeah, I even love Snoop John B because I think that in the middle, like the harmony there is one of the best harmonies. Your just the arrangement of that harmony is absolutely fantastic.
Your convictions don't convince me.
What about the instrumentals?
I love the instrumentals as well.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just saying.
You really love the instrumentals?
Yeah, I do.
What's wrong with you?
Because I like them.
Is that why you're a little bit insane?
Yeah.
Jay-Z was born Sean Corey Carter.
I wish his name was Corey Carter.
Of course it's Sean Carter. Why don't I think of James Russell? Who's James Russell?
Why of course is Sean Carter?
Why is it of course?
Because no, you know when you know.
I know Diddley's like Sean Coombs or something, isn't it?
No, yeah, P. Diddley's Sean Coombs.
Coombs. Like the dude at Supergrass.
There's a little fella at work, the fitter at work is called Paul. We call him Paul Diddy.
Good. That's brilliant.
There you call you Biggie Smalls.
No. Album.
Right, should we talk about the songs?
Oh, is that all? We've been going for about 40 minutes already.
Wouldn't it be nice?
To do what?
That's a great start to a record.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were cars? Wouldn't it be nice if you
when you wear a little t-shirt with Sergeant Pepper's together,
wouldn't it be nice?
Next song. Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah, it's a good record.
It's a great record, actually. It's a beautiful fantastic record. Start. Really good lyric.
But they get a lot of it lost, don't they, halfway through? Like, we can't really come up with a chorus, so we just wander around.
Bit like me.
Oh, I like the little mid-late. Maybe if we think and wish and hope and pray, it might come true.
Carry on.
Run, run, reindeer. Why does he always say run, run, reindeer?
Does it say run, run, reindeer?
I think it sounds like it, yeah.
I think it sounds like it.
So, do you know who Brian, as I said, he wrote all the songs. Majority of them wrote with Tony Asher, a lyricist who was a Londoner, who was an ad copywriter. And he met Brian and...
What's an ad copywriter? You know all about that.
Basically, a guy that writes the copy for adverts.
What's a copy?
The text.
Oh, okay.
So how random a job
so
is
he
that?
Does the, he does the actual, yeah. The text writing on an advert.
But apparently his job was to put Brian's ideas into words. So all of the songs are...
They're all interpretations of Wilson's head.
Basically, yeah.
Which is subject to someone else's opinion, isn't it?
Do you reckon Brian Wilson was saying, and then this big fucking elephant popped his head out from under my bed and I kicked him in the fucking nostril? And then he's just thinking, I'll just write what I think you mean.
Yeah, exactly. So them songs might not be what he...
No, you've got to understand.
It's how the Bible was written.
Look at
is that Brian Wilson? Smile?
No, but Brian Wilson this time, no, Van Dyke Parks wrote Smile. And that was where it got weird. But
what, Mary Poppins, mate?
If you look at Brian Wilson at the time, he was still very kind of... No, it's before he had his breakdown. So he was fine. He'd just got married. He'd just... fired his father as their manager. Oh. So it was very much, this album's very much a coming of age album. It's him becoming like being a boy and doing all the kind of surfy songs.
Did Dennis have a beard at this point?
No. But it's doing very much like getting rid of all the surfy stuff and starting to write songs about how he's actually feeling. And it's kind of almost like a bit of a kind of like
coming of age.
Definitely, definitely. And that's what this album's really about. Definitely. I was thinking of emancipation, but I didn't think it was the right word. But he just got married as well, so he was speaking about how weird the feelings were about you animal, about how weird kind of that was. With some, I mean, like, you know, you still believe in me and all that sort of thing. And we'll get onto that in a second because that's the next song. But also, you've also got, you know, the albums like the Beatles are producing, and you've got Dylan producing as well, and you've got Drug Culture as well, which we'll get onto later. And all this is sort of happening.
I think you've done a little bit too much LSD.
And well, that's what we'll get onto later. But that's, he's a pop song, like a pop singer, and they're a pop band at the end of the day. And all this is coming up, and they create this album, which is not a pop album at all. It's a wonderful album. So let's go on to the next song.
It can still be a pop album.
You still talking about the first song?
Yeah. You Still Believe in Me?
Yeah.
Which, what annoys you about You Still Believe in Me, John?
Well, I do like the record. You still
great lyric. I think one of the best lyrics of all of them.
Just the noises, the sounds I use, it is not cool. Boom, 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 boom.
Do you know why?
In the Beatles' hands, the sound is so much cooler.
Originally, the song was entitled In My Childhood and was an instrumental. So the things like, because I always get pissed off with the bicycle bell and the horn and all that. And that was because originally the composition was meant to be a song about his childhood. And then they come up with the lyric for it. And the lyric fitted the song perfectly, but they couldn't get rid of the noises that were put in from when it was in my childhood. And it was so perfect from before, they thought, well, we don't want to do it again. These are the best, these are the takes that we want. So we'll have to keep that in. So that's why those are kept
in. But still, I still say in the Beatles' hands, it would have been way cooler.
Well, George Martin's hands, which I'll come on to as well regarding...
Don't be silly.
All
the Beatles' sound wasn't George Martin.
If you look at the orchestration, Brian Wilson, he produced everything that the Beach Boys did.
Yeah.
He was involved in everything.
Yeah, it's still, to me, that's there not, was it's not a touch on the Beatles.
Four
stuff.
People in the Beatles, and you had George Martin as well, so five. And George, do you think John Lennon came up with a little harpsichord bit in the middle of In My Life?
No, George Martin played that.
Yeah.
What's that got? That don't mean that he's made all the sounds.
No, but
they just told him to make a piano sound different.
A lot of the stuff. You know the wonderful bit in A Day in the Life where you've got the big build up, the strings go from that to that. John Lennon said to George Martin, "Right, we need this song to go from one point to another point. You sort it out." And that's George Martin that did that.
That's because they had two different songs, weren't they? McCartney,
but they don't take.
But the thing is, that's what I'm saying is that you everyone goes. And the thing is that if it wasn't for Pet Sounds, Revolver wouldn't be the album that it is as well. What happened was is that
that's true because there was
but if it wasn't for Rubber Soul, Pet Sounds wouldn't be the album it was.
No, of course not. But that's what I'm saying. That's interesting at the time. But if you listen to Rubber Soul, and you listen to Pet Sounds, that's a massive leap.
What album is USSR on?
Bloody hell, that's White Album. White Album. So that's way beyond all that sort of stuff.
That's got like Beach Boys harmony.
Yeah, but I mean, that's almost a pastiche. This is when they were really kind of contemporaries. Right,
right. But I'm still saying, just because George Martin come up with a few points you're putting out, it doesn't mean he created the whole sound.
He didn't come up with just a few points.
Well, about the keyboard on the beginning of Strawberry Fields Forever, that wasn't George Martin. That was John Lennon got the keyboard. Paul McCartney worked out the piece on it. That's the Beatles playing the Mellotron.
That's but I'm saying that all of this is one person. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's all players.
But that's what I'm saying about
Pet Sounds. What band did he have on it?
Pet Sounds, the session band.
All that does.
Well, very well known session band. All that does
is the Wrecking Crew.
The Wrecking Crew, So it's not all one person, is it?
No, but he was directing them. The same way that George Martin was directing the Beach Boys. No, but Beatles.
All that says is that there was one talented person in the Beach Boys and five talented people in the Beatles.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that if you're looking at this album, you're looking at how it was created. That's my point, is that you've got to give Brian Wilson a hell of a lot of credit.
I will give him a lot
of
credit.
For writing the songs and for producing this album the way it is.
The pressure of having all that on him sent him a bit.
Yeah, of course it did. But that's what makes this album such a poignant album.
But maybe he should have got four other great individuals and made better music like the Beatles.
Instead of going, I've got to have my brothers in this fucking band. He could have gone out and got someone that actually could... Was good.
Let's have a run through the singles.
I fucking hate the Beach Boys. Can't believe we're doing the Beach Boys twice. First one we lost, and this one I hope we lose.
The thing is, you don't hate the Beach Boys.
I fucking do. They're really boring. When I used to put like the Beach Boys on my MP3 players or whatever. After a while, I'd delete them. So you feel like you have to have them on there. Yeah. You have to have the Beach Boys on it because they're a classic band. I can't sit through fucking 2 or 3 minutes of them fucking singing.
That's the thing, I've got them on my iPod and I do skip them on the shuffle.
Yeah.
I it's mental that you feel like that about them because they really are. And the thing is, you two, you know music and you like music, and how can you say a band that...
It's all opinion. You can't sit there saying, oh, you like music, you've got to like that.
No, the thing is that surely you must... But the thing is that... I can appreciate the fact you don't like them, but you know what I mean? You must understand that what they've kind of done.
I understand that people... Yeah, I think they're great songwriters and I understand that people love them and that, but it's just not a bit of me. I can't... Their songs don't evoke any emotions in me. They sound really dead. Like they're just like... I don't know. I don't like the voices. Even though they're technically brilliant, they don't reach out and like touch
me. I think some of the harmonies that they've done, it goes on from doo-wop. And it takes that to a completely different level.
I couldn't cry at a fucking barbershop quartet.
But it's not... No,
but it's a similar sort of thing.
It's really not.
I think they're closer to Barbershop Quartet than I'd say soul and a bit of. Because they're like the freshmen.
Like they're on the verge of crying. Like when he was singing about, when he's saying about Carole King, like on the verge of crying, like the voice crackling and stuff. And there's emotion there. If you listen, I just feel like it's a bit like a sort of pop robot.
Not at all. If you listen to Sting, Still Believe in Me. The thing is, that song is a song where you get that emotion from. You get that from God Only Knows.
I know God Only Knows. But not because of the voice doesn't make me emotional, whatever. It's the purely the melody.
I know what you're saying. Surf's Up's a song that you get that from.
Mm. I know what you're saying. I don't know, something about the voice that does sort of.
Yeah, it's, without being disrespectful, it sounds a little bit, not bland, but do you know what I mean? I can't explain it properly, but there's. Doesn't seem to be any.
It's not delivering a lot of emotion in the vocal, like, is it?
God only knows what I'd do without you. And it's.
The melodies are some of the most complex melodies.
The melodies are amazing. That's what I'm saying. That's why that song is. I think it touches people because of the melody.
That's probably what reminds.
Not because of the way the vocals are delivered.
That's probably.
But the thing is, you can't get a good melody across without the good vocal.
That's probably what reminds me of ABBA, though, like, because the melodies are so complex. It's sort of like you can't really deliver much emotion when you sort of be like, got to be precise on God only knows what I'd be without you. You can't really, do you know what I mean? You can't just sort of like riff on it and stuff
but
like
again,
that.
But again, that little pause there between the without and you, that's something that has a bit of emotion in that, surely. But it does, it's that kind of thing that, do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But so, you're just going to say, like, whatever.
No, because you've actually been. Like, because if you were going to sing that in a systematic soul, you wouldn't leave that little
pause
there.
I didn't even know the pause was there. I don't like things.
Because it is in there. But that is in there, and that's in there for a reason. And that's because it has a lot of heart in there.
I don't think you can just say because they pause before the U.
But I'm not just saying that. But obviously, if you listen to the songs in general, I don't know, I just really, it's just bizarre.
You just want to bum them. Yeah.
But that's good, you know, that's cool. That's why music's so good, isn't it? Because everyone's got their own opinions, and if different things touch people in different ways.
Let's talk about the song at least, like, we can all agree on.
Gary
God Only
Knows.
God Only Knows.
Yeah. I like that song. It's a great song.
The thing is, as well, the lyrics that they were writing at the time, the lyrics that Brian Wilson was feeling and Tony Asher was writing, they were ahead of so many other pop songs, any other pop song that was out there at the time.
You can't say any other pop song, can you?
Well, what other pop songs were having that?
I didn't come prepared for this argument, but it's a bit of a broad statement.
But
they were
broad strokes. 66.
Bob Dylan has already been around for a while.
Yeah, Sgt. Pepper came out in 66, didn't it?
No, it didn't. It was 67.
Oh, a touch and go.
If the album that was out before this one, in terms of pop albums, Dylan was a folk, and folk is completely different. You can't put folk as the same
as pop.
Because you could look back to the 30s and say the sort of stuff like all the stuff.
Yeah, but you were just saying that it's not a pop album.
But this is nothing like that.
But this is a pop band. They were a pop band. They were one of those.
There was one of those ten a penny pop bands
that was about probably All Day and All the Night and all that sort of stuff. So as much about kind of Moon in June and all that. There was a lot of that sort of stuff. These were songs we're writing about things like, in terms of you still believe in me, like I'm not really sure about myself and there you are with me. You've got something like God Only Knows, which is saying, you know, that it's putting a completely different spin on it.
But I don't know, I wouldn't say that about any of them, if you were writing songs about them sort of things.
They just didn't put in the
If you was there in 66, I think, and you listened to this album, this would have been light years ahead of anything else. Until the Beatles come along with Revolver. And the only reason why Revolver is as edgy as it is because of John Lennon. Because John Lennon adds the edge to the Beatles. And
you're sort of playing some really broad statements that are just ridiculous today.
They're not ridiculous.
You are. Like, the only reason that Revolver's as edgy as it is because of John Lennon. What about George Harrison? What about Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr?
McCartney's not edgy.
Paul McCartney, what edgy songs does Paul McCartney do in Revolver? Paul McCartney brought in the sample. He's the one who sort of pretty much directed the samples on Tomorrow Never Knows. Paul McCartney's responsible.
Yeah, but that was before that. We're talking.
Paul McCartney's responsible for most of the backing track on Tomorrow Never Knows because of the sample loops that he made.
Yeah, but in terms of the actual song that was written, though,
I think most of the edge of that song comes from the samples. The fact that it's all sample based. Tomorrow Never Knows. Yeah.
So, I don't know, Yeah, fair enough. That's an interesting point. But if you look at the songs that they're writing, who writes them on Never Knows on? Who's the song written
Lennon
by?
Wrote it.
Yeah, and if you look at the Paul McCartney songs on that.
He wrote For No One, one of the best Beatles songs.
Yeah, but would you say it's an edgy song?
Yeah.
Why is it edgy?
Because he's still with a girl that he loves and he knows that she doesn't love him. Your day breaks, your mind aches, you find that all the words are kind.
Which was written after on. The sort of stuff that...
I don't think he got it from Brian Wilson. I think he got it from Jane Asher, his girlfriend.
But the thing is, you look at the songs he was writing before that. Think of songs before.
Ridiculous or something.
I love the way you're answering everything. I'm just seeing it.
But I love the way he's saying, if anything's good, he's going, that's because of the Beach Boys.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's not all because of Brian Wilson's.
No, I'm not saying it all is, but I'm saying that you can't deny that album didn't influence very heavily.
No, I'm sure it did.
It did. That's a fact.
I know that after Paul McCartney heard Wouldn't It Be Nice, he went and wrote Here, There and Everywhere. I know that much.
The whole, I'm surprised that
I know they influenced them, a little bit.
What I've already said, which you brushed past, was that
equally as much the Beatles influenced the fucking Beach Boys.
Yeah, of course they did.
I would say the Beatles.
We're arguing the same point.
Yeah, but you're saying God only knows there was nothing like it. It was groundbreaking. I'm sure people were singing heartbreaking songs in fucking 1742.
In my life, Beats. In my life, Beats. God only knows.
Fucking God only knows. It's not groundbreaking. God only knows I couldn't live without you.
It was groundbreaking.
Fucking everyone's singing that.
It was groundbreaking. No, there wasn't, because God Only Knows was the first song to ever have God in the title.
Oh, which made you're it getting on my.
It was
nose.
The first song to have God in the title. Yeah. You know that for a fact?
That's bollocks. What about fucking Christmas carols and fucking songs you sing in a church?
God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
God Save Our Queen.
A song that wasn't a carol that had God
in it.
You
didn't say that. You went, it's the first song that had God in it.
What about Bob Dylan's with God on Our Side?
When was that written?
Well, it's on another side of Bob Dylan, the third album, probably 1964.
But again, is that a hymn? Is that a hymn?
No, it's not a hymn. It's a song about war.
It's a her.
It's about God letting people die and letting certain people live.
Go on the internet and look at it then. I'm not making it up. I've researched it.
Most of the stuff it says made up.
No, it's not at all. We're just having a difference of opinion.
That's not, because it's not a difference of opinion, because that's facts. With a God on Our Side is out before Pet Sounds, isn't it? Yeah?
God only knows was the first song that had, so the first pop song that had God in the title.
Who what are you talking about? God on Our Side, I've just said.
Even if it was, who cares?
I can't. Yeah. We could argue this all day.
It's not groundbreaking.
No, but what are you talking about? I just told you a song before it, and then you just said the statement again.
I know there's an answer that was written about LSD.
Are you ignoring me now?
It's just a
point. I proved you wrong, and then you made the exact same statement. Didn't you? Are you wrong?
I think you're wrong.
You're such a politician.
No. Oh, you're like Gordon Brown. He got caught out, didn't he?
Do you watch Pineapple Dance Studios?
Bigot.
No.
When they asked Andrew Stone how old he was, and he was, I think age is irrelevant.
Is that the super gay one?
He's not the super gay one. He's the singer. He's like just he's the best character on every reality show.
Do you want a chewing gum, Dom?
No, thank you. Not one of your Beach Boy ones.
That's definitely not the first song ever written that's got God in it.
I didn't say that. I said it was the first.
Yeah, the first statement you said.
First thing you said is the first song with God in the title.
The first song ever had God in it. And I went, what about like hymns and like fucking things like that? And you went, no, but obviously not hymns and things. That's true. You're shaking your head, but that's true. That's what happened. You listen to this and you'll go, yeah, I was a bit of a dick.
Next.
Anyway, again, I
still
know.
Still ain't admitted you're wrong, but next.
You would die for these, wouldn't you? And I fucking love the fact.
Well, because you two have just gone from going, yeah, the thing is, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's a classic album, you're going, I hate the Beach Boys.
Yeah, but no, I'm not saying I hate
them. No, you did say earlier on that you did hate the Beach Boys.
Alright, I'll take that back.
So again, it's that kind of thing, especially in this environment. If you get that, then I'll kind of get my back up and we end up making these ridiculous statements.
No, but his statement is he can hate the Beach Boys, that's a personal thing. But your statements are like
you're making stuff up that doesn't exist.
Yeah, just like it's massive broad statements like the Beach Boys are the only thing people are doing this and the
only. No, I didn't say they're the only ones. I said
their lyrics were they're the only people that did lyrics like this. You said there was no one getting close to these lyrics at the time, and I was like, well, I don't think that's true.
What? Who was there then?
Well, Bob Dylan is an easy option.
In terms of, I'm talking, but the thing is
in terms of what?
Then that's folk, we're talking pop.
No, it's popular music.
It's just music that's in the charts. You can't just generalise. You can't say no one in this genre is doing words like this.
It doesn't matter what genre it is. Bob Dylan was selling just as much as the Beach Boys, so I presume. I don't know how much we were selling what, but
and they're all very similar anyway. The Beach Boys might do a folky song. It's, you know, it's irrelevant what genre it is. It's just whether someone's writing that music at the time. They're all songs at the end of the day. You can't say
that. Probably a lot of good lyricists at the time as well.
There's probably a fucking million lyricists. It's probably people that wrote songs back then never got their songs heard.
We can't use those.
That's a good point. But anyway, I appreciate the Beach Boys. I'm not.
But I want you to appreciate that this is a groundbreaking album.
Don't do it for me.
Right, I want you to appreciate this is a groundbreaking album.
I wasn't around with the ground. I didn't feel the ground because I was born 20 years later. I don't know what the ground.
And that's a politician's answer.
I've been brainwashed as a child. I think you're into thinking that Pet Sounds is a groundbreaking album, and you know it's a classic album because I've been, you know, you've brought up to accept that. But I haven't had any fucking. It's hard evidence to suggest that it is.
It's hard to judge because when you say like groundbreaking, it's hard to think what effect did it have on most people that probably wouldn't have cared. You know, like normal people just hearing a record in the 60s. Like,
it probably would have only been groundbreaking if you'd have bought the other Beach Boys records and have gone, that's a lot different to them.
No, I think in terms of just generally kind of pop music at the time, it was just different from anything else that was really out there.
Maybe it was at the start of a cusp.
It's easy to take a kind of a best of 60s albums now and look at it and think all these great songs are happening at this particular one time. But in fact, there was probably so much drivel and shit that was happening around as well. And we look at it now and go, bloody hell, they had this, they had that, and they had the other. And that's why is that, you know, we missed the significance of these sorts of albums, and we miss how they were, because we are sport for choice now. We can look back and have, you know, albums from the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s.
What would you say in the last 10, 20 years is a groundbreaking album?
In the last 20 years?
10, 20, whatever, yeah. Recent.
I don't think there is such a thing. Everything's been done, but it just gets redone again.
Yeah, but what is it? I'm just trying to, because it's hard to say what's a groundbreaking album and what's not. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I use that word a bit too often, and I don't think anything's groundbreaking. It's just something that kicks off a new scene or something.
Yeah, sometimes the first of something.
It's all recycled. It's like fashion. A groundbreaking song is probably the first song that was ever fucking written.
Yeah.
You know.
There's obviously a lot of seminal stuff, an album that we're going to come to next time, Velvet Underground and Nico. That's groundbreaking.
I'm fucking doing that.
That is pretty groundbreaking.
Because that was being released, but that was really kind of 10 years before its time, yeah. At least.
Yeah, but we're still talking about the Beach Boys.
How are we doing for time, Pat?
Is it my quiz yet?
How about one final song before we go on the last song, Caroline? No,
I know a little bit about that one.
Go on.
Their dad made them speed it up.
What?
He said all records sound better sped up, so he insisted that they sped it up.
But it's a slower song anyway.
I know, they're just like sped it up. That's why his voice it sounds a little bit younger in it.
I just remembered.
What?
Got thanks two questions
now. I'll go bareback for two questions. Yes.
Did you know why the album was called Caroline though?
Why the song is?
Oh, sorry, the song's called
Caroline. Was it Brian Wilson's girlfriend at the time?
It was his high school sweetheart, his kind of unrequited love, was called Carol, apparently.
Carol King.
And no, it wasn't. Different side to the estate. And
they had buses in those days.
And the song was originally called Carol I Know. And in the singing, it got changed to Carol I Know.
Oh, really?
And
really?
Yeah.
Carol I Know. That's a weird phrase.
I know, exactly. And they said that to match the despair of the song, they decided to change it to Carol I Know, which is a pretty good song title, I think.
Yeah, it's all right. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
So, my quiz? Should we do it in the style of the Beach Boys?
I'll join you.
Ooh. Wah, wah. Ooh.
It's time for Neil's quiz. It's a shit quiz. It's a really, really shit quiz.
Hop, hop. Neil's quiz.
He's only got one question.
Neil's quiz.
Just do a one question quiz. How about that? That way there's no tie breaks or anything.
What, next goal wins?
Basically.
I want to go bareback though.
That's always
right. I want a disease. Oh, no, fuck it. What are your sounds going to be?
Beach Boys are great.
You would say.
That's pretty much what I said all the way through the thing.
Pretty much, yeah. Go on.
Bab, yeah.
Shit. For the first time ever, that was a shit sound.
Pat just farted.
Why is your
wife
by me?
Because she does it. Right, question one. Actually, I'm just going to ask the same questions that he's already answered, and you just got to buzz in quickly.
Go on, then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought I'd both go bareback. Question one. With songs such as Surfing USA, Surfing Safari, and Surfer Girl, you'd expect them all to be surfers, but only one was.
Yeah, Bob Dylan.
What? No, it weren't Bob Dylan.
Dennis Wilson.
Yeah.
Find out which one.
Did you let him have that?
Oh, he's got it before me. I couldn't really do much about it.
Next.
He seems a bit lazy about that.
He's usually first in, isn't he, most of them?
Yeah, even if you don't know it. When they entered the studio to record Surfing as a demo, what name did the boys use for the band?
Beach Boys are great.
You let him have that one as well, didn't you?
I can't remember what the name was.
Pendleton's.
Correct. Which is good. I like the way you've done that. You both allowed each other to score goals.
Now
it's a drop kick for the actual question.
A player was injured and one of us kicked the ball off and then kicked it back to the keeper.
Yeah, that was nice. I liked it.
Yeah.
But none of that now.
We didn't plan that. It was just accidental, wasn't it?
Because you won't get this one. You won't get
your finger in there. Nice.
Go on.
Took me that.
Right, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Which rap act teamed up with the Beach Boys to release a rendition of Wipeout?
Oh, well, I'm going to say Bob Dylan, Beastie Boys.
Nope.
I fucking love the Beach Boys. Run DMC.
Nope.
Who was it?
The Fat Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He can't have a second guess. Still 6-5 to Johnny Willie.
That was... Yeah, why didn't you say it first?
Because I didn't think of it first. I should still get that because you didn't say the answer.
No.
Yeah.
And just make it even.
Once you said one and you've said one, that's it.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
Conclusions. Nick is gay for the Beach Boys.
I am gay for the Beach Boys. He is homo for the boys on the beach.
Yeah, no, I think we give it a bad rap because the thing is, Nick's really talking it up too much. So I'm trying to tip the scale.
Trying to bang. But the thing is, the more you pushed me, the more that I wanted to go...
I still don't really like them that much, though.
I'm
not knocking them. It's just my own personal taste. Yeah. I appreciate, you know what I'm saying. You feel like you should really like them, but you know, like with all of these bands, like even with Hendrix, you get beaten with a stick saying you must love Hendrix because he's amazing, and people like me go, well, yeah, I think he is, but he goes, well, I don't think he is, and I get that with the Beach Boys, you know.
But my issue with that is that the reason why people say the likes of Hendrix and stuff is because of
his songs.
No, it's because of the
voice, because guitar playing, because of his drugs, because of his stage performance.
The drugs?
Yeah.
Good reason.
He's famous for his drugs as well.
Yeah.
But it's true, though.
I like it. You like it because he's technically a good player, rather than the fact that the songs are...
I think it's more than technical.
I like the Beach Boys because purely about the songs.
Yeah, but
I think they're wonderful songs.
I don't listen to Hendrix particularly and go, oh, yeah, that riff.
Yeah, because technical doesn't really hold no weight.
I'm not a guitarist, and I like his voice, and I love his songs. Yeah, no,
I'm
his
not saying about
amazing.
I'm not saying about it's you, really but I'm saying most people, the way that they go on about it is that you have to like Hendrix or you have to like Led Zeppelin because Hendrix is the best guitarist in the world. Jimmy Page is the best guitarist in the world.
It's the same thing as the Beach Boys, isn't it? I like the songs.
That's what I'm saying. Is that the Beach Boys because
yeah, but you're talking about you said about what other people think of Jimmy Hendrix, not what he likes.
What I'm saying to you is, Beach Boys, same as Hendrix. Same as the Doors. They're bands that people are... You should like these because they're amazing. And as we're discovering with these podcasts, you don't like Led Zeppelin. You don't like Jimi Hendrix.
No, I do like Led
Zeppelin. I don't like the Beach Boys. I don't like Bob Dylan.
In fact, when I listen to
Led Zeppelin... That's interesting. That's how we fucking discuss
it. When I listen to the Led Zeppelin album, I actually enjoyed it because I thought that they were all just kind of look at me style guitar. And in fact...
They're really subtle. Anyway, let's talk about Led Zeppelin again. But I do appreciate the Beach Boys. I appreciate what they've done and everything. It's just not a bit of me.
This is going on for ages.
Yeah, it's so boring. This is almost as boring as the first one that we lost.
Pat, will you lose this podcast? You lose this again.
Lose it. I fucking hate the Beach Boys.
Why are there big gaps on the screen?
Oh, it's just a visual thing.
Okay.
Let's hope that
gets
me. Do we have to?
John's movie quiz! Movie quiz, 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 movie quiz.
John of fans. A movie quiz.
Oh, movie quiz.
Jonathan.
Oh, yeah.
Movie quiz.
I like themes.
He would say the song.
I want you to feel
the title of it in its
feel my it feelings.
But you got to guess the name of the song. Yes, you dig.
No, I ain't actually got any films this week. Should we skip it?
Thank fuck. Go. They're awful.
You got a question of the week, Nick?
No.
Okay, should we just say bye-bye in a very funny manner?
Oh, we can't end it like this.
Why?
I'm not doing a quiz. I'm not doing a question. See you later.
Are you going to end it in a song?
What song should we do?
I think we should end it in the style of...
Shrek.
No. In the style of...
Hallelujah.
No.
My little girl sings Hallelujah. She sort of hears the first bit. Because the baby laughs at it. He's like, hallelujah. He thinks that's funny.
So that would be really good if you just cut.
She will just gets one gist of it, and she goes, the fourth, the fifth, the minor, hallelujah. That's the end. Goodbye, everybody.
See you later.
Bye.